Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, where the life of Jesus meets yours 10 minutes every day. April 1st, 2019, for Reading Bible Daily, Your You've Got, or something like that. Galatians chapter 5 is where we'll begin today. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Happy April 1st. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not allow anyone to put the yoke of slavery on you again. Look, I, Paul, tell you that if you allow yourselves to be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. I testify again to every man who allows himself to be circumcised that he is obligated to do the whole law. You who are trying to be declared righteous by the law are completely separated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Indeed, through the Spirit, we by faith are eagerly waiting for the sure hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. Rather, it is faith working through love that matters. You are running well. Who cut in on you, so that you are no longer persuaded by the truth? This persuasion is not from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch. I am confident in the Lord that you have no other opinion than this. But the one who is trying to disturb you will pay the penalty, whoever he is. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted? Then the offense of the cross has been abolished. If only those who are upsetting you would also cut themselves off. After all, brothers, you are called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as a starting point for your sinful flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. In fact, the whole law is summed up in this one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out, so that you are not consumed by one another. This is the word of our God. Paul has some very strong words in this chapter. Consider especially verse 4, when he says, "You who are trying to be declared righteous by the law are completely separated from Christ. You have fallen from grace." That fallen from grace isn't necessarily a sudden thing or even an intentional thing. The word used there is also used of a ship that slowly drifts off course. It falls off its course, and little by little it diverts farther and farther until it is hundreds of miles away from where it ought to be. Or perhaps also used of the image of a petal falling off of a flower. Maybe you think of that rose in Beauty and the Beast as it finally makes its last little descent, and until one day it just disconnects, falls off. So what is Paul saying here? The grace he's talking about in context here is justification by grace through faith. Your standing with God depends purely on God's grace to you, and that God's grace is received by faith. He's talking about losing your connection with God's grace. It's not necessarily irreparable or permanent, but he is warning them that they've lost the connection with God's grace through Christ. This is very, very strong language, especially in verses 2 to 4. Paul says, let's talk turkey here. Let's be realistic. I, Paul, tell you that if you allow yourselves to be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. I testify again to every man who allows himself to be circumcised that he is obligated to do the whole law. You who are trying to be declared righteous by the law are completely separated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. And if you want to be justified by the law, you've lost your connection with God's grace. And we who are justified through grace and through faith know that justifying faith is never alone. Consider verses 5 and 6. Indeed, through the Spirit, we by faith are eagerly waiting for the sure hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. Rather, it is faith working through love that matters. You have faith, hope, and love. Paul says, if you want to talk about the Christian faith, if you have the proper faith, that faith will create love. And that love will allow the freedom to remain. But if the faith isn't pointed in the right direction, if the faith isn't focused in the right direction, if it's no longer faith, if it's no works of the law, then that love will not be there. And that hope will not be there. And then the freedom will not be there. The faith, hope, and love lead to freedom, because the faith is founded on the right object, pointed to the right Jesus. Faith, hope, and love will not be there if faith is not there in the first place, if the faith or the ideas that are preached are simply, this is what you should do in order to be right with God, and oh, by the way, here are the list of three or four things that you aren't allowed to do, as something that not as God has said, but that are a matter of Christian freedom, such as obeying the Old Testament law, if that faith isn't there, then the love won't be there, the hope won't be there, the Christian freedom won't be there, but there will be slavery and guilt and a constant trying and never catching up and never keeping up. Rather, it is faith working through love that matters. And so Paul calls them out and he says, don't you realize that if you tolerate this teaching in your church and in your midst, that you will lose out on the freedom that Jesus has won for you? Don't you realize that this Jesus has won far more freedom for you than you even realize? And that you have a faith and a hope and a love together. Verse 13, after all, brothers, you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as a starting point for your sinful flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. And that topic comes up fairly regularly, and here Paul deals with it pretty straightforwardly, quite bluntly, one might say. What's the relationship between faith and works? What's the relationship between faith and works? Well, works don't add anything to our faith, but they are the natural result of our faith. Faith that is actual faith will produce works, but those works are simply in response and as a reflection of Christ's love for us. They do nothing to add to our standing to God before God. They do nothing to add to our freedom. They're simply the result of having been justified. The personal faith which you have, the personal faith by which we believe, the faith that clings to Christ, is your personal justification. That you can stand before God one day, and he'll look at you, and you will have the confidence to say, or the faith that says, I believe that Jesus was perfect for me, not just for the whole world, but for me individually, personally. That faith expresses itself through love. And so Paul teaches both. He teaches faith, and then love. Justification, faith, where you're standing with God, leads to love. Sanctification, or your Christian action. Consider what he summarizes in verse 14. In fact, the whole law is summarized in this one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. Love is a law word. And so nobody can say the purpose of Christianity is love God and love your neighbor. That's the essence of the law. And if a church's slogan is simply love God, love your neighbor, run away screaming because that's a law church, because that's a church that Paul condemns here along with the circumcised. You are obligated to obey the whole law, and so get to work. If you want to hitch your wagon to the law pony to heaven, don't think you can just hold on to its tail or hold on to a foot. You need to follow the whole thing, and you've obligated yourself to obey the whole law. We are saved by faith alone. Yes, justification and sanctification are separate in our teaching, but they're closely linked in Scripture, and always with justification first. Justification is our standing with God based on His work in us and for us. His work for us, really. Start with that. And then His work in us is the creation of faith, which receives His work for us. I think I misspoke a little bit there previously. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit also in us, setting us apart as holy and setting us apart for service to God. And so most broadly then, sanctification also relates, stems from that justification, stems from that faith, and relates to our human action. The things that we do out of love for God and for neighbor. You see, we are saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. Saving faith is never alone. Faith expresses itself in love. Faith is where you are stand righteous before God. It's God's personal declaration that says, yes, Jesus died for the sins of the world, and this means that Jesus died for your sins too. You have been forgiven. And this faith expresses itself through sanctification, through love of God and of neighbor. So as you go about your day, just take a moment here to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for justifying me. for declaring me to be not guilty and forgiven. Thank you. And now, consider how you might serve God and serve your neighbor, whether it's through your vocation, and how we as a congregation might do more to serve God and serve our neighbor, simply out of love for what Jesus has done for you and for me. You can find us Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 2250 South Hollandsvania Road. Wednesday evenings, we have 6 p.m. Lenten Supper and 7 p.m. Lenten Worship. You could also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Mommy. God bless your day.